about a year ago, our leadership came to me, and we were talking about something called sabbatical, a rest for my wife and I after 20-some years of lead pastor ministry. And this is my first Sunday back in the pulpit, back from sabbatical. I have not preached in 4 months, and it's either going to stink, be long, or be fantastic. I don't know which. Yeah, so, you know, glad you're here this morning, but you took a chance, and this is the way it is. The very first thing we wanted to do this morning is to say thank you. Both Corinne and I recognize that what you offered us isn't something everybody gets. Many of you work hard, harder than me. Really, I don't work that hard, do I? And many of you have jobs that are immensely demanding. And the privilege that you granted us, we want to say thank you for. And we want you to know we see it as a privilege, not a right. And it meant a ton to us. I don't know if I've ever felt as valued by a congregation and by a leadership as we have here. Would you say that?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I'll go through and thank these people, and then you can say something. Are you ready? Okay, good. You love being up here, don't you? Yeah. First, I want to thank the leaders who initiated and gave guidance to this process. My board is amazing, and thank you to you. It has been restorative in our life, and we need to publicly say thanks for that. You gave us great guidance. You initiated things in the scope of the sabbatical that I wouldn't have chosen, and you did so with wisdom and with genuine prayer, and they were awesome. Secondly, thank you to those who took extra responsibilities to provide the opportunity. Man, give our staff a hand. Yes. I got to tell you, if you're visiting, like, pay attention. I went online and I checked out a bunch of the services and stuff. I don't think you had a stinker in the bunch. It was awesome. You guys had a great time. And Rob helped with the pulpit, and Keir preached a couple of times, and Mike was here. And Chris kept you here forever and ever and ever. Amen. And man, glory to God. Like, that's just fantastic. Thank you, guys. I know that my leaving put things on your plate. And I recognize what you gave us, and we appreciate it. You are a congregation who prayed for us and supported us and didn't send us nasty emails and complain that we weren't here. Thank you. We love you. We're glad to be back, and we want to say thanks. Now you can say thanks.
Yes, thank you. It's hard to believe we're up here saying thank you, because that means it's over. It went by very quickly. But I want to say much the same thing. I do realize that us being gone for that amount of time put more strain and pressure on our leadership team and our volunteers, and we're very thankful that you would consider it worth it that you would allow us to do that. It was really great. For me, it was really great for us as a couple to disengage for a little bit from life here and be able to travel a bit. And it gave us the chance to reconnect and recharge and refocus. And
yeah, well, must have read my notes.
And
I told you could do this. I'll just sit over here.
So we were able to do these things with each other and with Jesus, which was amazing. I wish all of you could experience just a block of time where you could do that with your spouse and with God as well. So it also gave us the chance to engage on the other side of the world and see some of the amazing things that God is doing in other places, not just here. And after all that, we flew many miles to come home, and we were excited to be home in this church. We were in a number of different congregations over our time away, and they were all great, but we were excited to be back here with you.
They're not as great as these guys.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. So yes, we're very thankful for our church family here, and we're excited to be back, and we're excited to start serving alongside you again. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to be away, and thank you for letting us come back.
Yeah. Awesome. My office was still there, and they let me use it again. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Green. So today you are here on an unusual day. Today is called Stories of God at Work. So let me, if you're visiting or not with us, or maybe you've forgotten why we do this, let me tell you really intentionally. Here's what it says in Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It's he who made us and we're his. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. So every communion Sunday, and we have communion on the first Sunday of every month, we have something called Stories of God at Work. We want to be able to get people in our congregation and people, stories from around the world where we're saying, God's alive, he's active. This is the God that we remember what he did for us to have relationship with him. This is our God. And this is what he's doing. And it's exciting. And if you have stories where God's answered prayer and he's at work, we want to invite you to come in and to share the story and allow God to use it to encourage other hearts and encourage other people. Now, I have a confession to make. I have promoted this for a long time. And today is first time that I'm the story of God at work, and it stinks. I would way rather preach a passage than bare my soul and be a little bit honest. And if you're here and you think pastors should be perfect and Bob should have it all together and he shouldn't have learned some of the basic things he's going to learn, you might want to go for coffee now, because I'm going to disappoint you. And I'm going to talk about the real things. This is who I am, and this is what God showed me. So if you would grant me that privilege, I'm going to take 15, 20 minutes or more. Chris? Yeah, no, sorry. And I'm going to talk about my sabbatical and what God's showing me in some big ways. And then I'm going to invite you to prepare your heart, and we're going to share communion together. And if you want to be prayed for, the elders will pray for you. If you want to be anointed with oil, you can be anointed. And we just hope you just get all up into Jesus and allow him to meet you in any way you need this morning. And that you leave to the exact same world and a busy fall with incredible hope in who Jesus is. Sound good? Awesome. So before I left, we had a short talk where I said, this is the purpose of our sabbatical, and I asked you to pray. And so I'm here to report on what God did in the areas we were asking him to meet me in, or to meet us in. The first was rhythm and rest. The second was reflection and renewal. And the third was to be recharged and refocused. And I want you to know that there were no major lightning bolts. There were no aha moments where I was struck by this incredible revelation that this is what should happen. But there were lots of adjustments. Things that I realized needed to shift and to change as we come back. And so if you're waiting for me to give you this incredible, it's not going to happen. But I am going to share the things God's been impressing my heart. The first comes with rhythm and rest, and I have some important information. I'll sit over here to share it with you on the stool. This is just Bob talking. The first is I have a struggle with sleep and with peace. This has been an ongoing battle in my life for, oh man, years and years and years and years and years. I wake up with my mind racing at night. I have to claim God's peace. I will often get up and can't go back to sleep. Many times I'm 4 a.m. Frustrated knowing I have a busy day, but worrying more about what I have to do than trusting who God is and what he's going to do. And it's an ongoing battle in my life. And one of the things that I deal with in rhythm is that I operate on very little sleep. And that's not good for me. And it's something, it's a discussion with my wife and I lots, right? Secondly, I struggle with saying no and disappointing people. I always want to be that self-sacrificing person, that guy that goes above and beyond. I don't want to be the guy that has all these boundaries around my life. This is my time. And yet we have expectations of people that come in from all over the place and all over backgrounds and experiences So know as I talk about rhythm and rest and what I'm learning, I struggle in these areas. I struggle with sleep. I struggle with peace, which is why when I pray God's peace for you every Sunday, I mean it so deeply. Oh, I want you to know that. Because I know what it's like not to have it. And I know what it's like to look for it. And I struggle with disappointing people. Two passages have been kind of significant to me in this season as we were going away, and they were just on my mind. Mark 6, 30 to 31. Here's what's happening. Jesus has just sent all these people he's training out two by two to do ministry. They've gone out into the surrounding towns and villages, and he's told them, like, man, if they receive you, go. Don't take anything with you. Just when you get there, hope you get fed. Hope they give you a place to stay and do the ministry. And if they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet and walk. So that the reality was they were going to get turned down in some spots and disappointed. And they come back and listen to what Jesus says. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. And then I like this little editorial comment. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And don't you love that you see the heart of Jesus to see restoration? That he recognizes we're human and we're built, that we need rhythm and we need balance and we need rest. And, you know, I know that the story goes on to say the crowds followed them, and that's where the feeding of the 5,000 happens. But they still went and had rest. The next passage that was on my mind is one that is a descriptor of Jesus, and it speaks to disappointing people. And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed, went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns, that I might preach there also, for that is why I came out. God provided rest for us in three ways. First, he provided physical rest. Man, the absence of schedules, deadlines, calendar that actually gets quite full, knowing that I'm behind on this report and that's not out and this has to be done, knowing that we're not doing anything about this area and there's all these pressures from outside. As the board said, you can't reside here. You need to go away for 2 months at a minimum. And we took their wisdom and left. We were able to physically unplug and rest. It was nice. I want you to know God was faithful to give us physical rest. He was able to give us emotional rest. This job has a pouring out aspect to it. What a privilege to do life with people experiencing the highs and lows. I go to most of the weddings and the funerals. I've sat with you while you've wept for your children, and I've been there while you've beamed with pride. And I love doing life like that. What a privilege to do it, but emotionally it's a pouring out thing. And if you really are going to care and you really are going to be loving, there's going to be an emotional investment and toll. And to be able to separate for a time from that and to gain some perspective was a very healthy thing, and God was faithful to provide us emotional rest. And finally, spiritually. The burden of leadership is an interesting thing. I pour out on a regular basis, and I feel a spiritual responsibility of a shepherd for his sheep. Many of you have no idea how it affects my heart when I see you make decisions to walk from Jesus or that are going to bring consequences in your life. There's a burden to preach, to teach, to be caring, to be loving, to continue to forgive and be forgiven, to be real. It's a struggle, and we have an enemy that would love to take that away. And God was able to give us rest spiritually. Time to just soak and to not pour out. Time to be fed and not feed. And so I want to testify to God's faithfulness in our lives. That he provided rest for us physically. He provided us great places to relax. Let me tell you one story real fast. I probably don't have time, but anyways. So we're coming to Cambodia, and we've gone online. And we've sat in our living room, and Cambodia is a long ways away, and we tried to pick a nice place. And we picked a place that had quite a few stars, and the pictures looked great. And we upped our budget to pay for it to $41 a night. It was $41 a night. So the missionary meets us at the airport. We go to Darren and Minako's house. We have supper with them. We're going back over. He's driving us to this place, and he turns down a dark alley. And those of you who have been to Cambodia with us know it's muddy and it's gross, and there's no lights and there's potholes. And he pulls up in front of this construction equipment and rocks, and you can see the name of the hotel, and it's just black, and the what's supposed to be the lobby is torn completely out, and my heart sinks. I'm like, oh God, no. No, this is when we're supposed to be, we're spending a whole week here, and we booked this place that we could start to just unwind, and here we are. And I tell Corrine, stay in the vehicle, and I work my way through, and I find the lobby, and I say to the guy, you know, we've prepaid this, but he takes me up and shows me one of the nicest rooms I've ever seen in my life. A shower you could put 20 people in. We didn't, but... Just to clarify, we didn't, but you could have. And a covered balcony overlooking a pool, and we had such a nice time. I'm like, isn't that just like God? He freaked me out and showed me he had me. So me of little faith. And his provision for us for rest was awesome. And I give him thanks. I know that's not normal. Secondly, God provided for reflection and renewal. We asked you to pray for this, and so let me report on it a little bit. I needed to create space to work through questions and to hear from God. I'm not very good at that. I'm busy, and I just get... And the questions, the bigger ones, do you guys find that easy to find space to work through some stuff? I don't. And so... here's some realities we're facing as we face the next season in ministry. I turned 49 in July. I probably have between 15 and 20 years left to give to Jesus in work, right? My kids are leaving home. We're at a new stage in life, and we're asking questions about our best serve. If this is our gifts and this is what you've done, what's our maximum impact for you? I mean, I read Matthew 25 and the parable of the talents, where he says, I've given you this many talents, I'm going to come back and ask you how you invested them, right? And I read in Scripture where he talks about a tree and fruit, and you're to bear good fruit. I mean, Chris preached about this just a few weeks ago. And we needed to step back and look at our lives and say, okay, God, we're just plodding along, doing these things. What's our best serve? Where's the best fruit? What are you doing? And all of us should do that now and again. And here's what I discovered upon reflection and renewal with God. I discovered that my calling is still my calling. In Ephesians 4, 11 to 13, it says that some gifts are given to equip the body for works of service. And that God has given me gifts that he's asking me to use to build up and equip the saints. That my wife and I are called to shepherd a local church. We love you guys. We missed you. We weren't in any church where we walked out and said, wow, I'd like to go there every week. We were like, I can't wait till we're with our people. And I was reminded that what we do here is a privilege. That we get to see God draw people to himself. We get to see him sustain them when things are hard. We get to see him bless them with abundance. We've seen him heal them, comfort them, and restore them. And we have an insider's view and track. What a privilege on reflection and renewal is our calling to be pastors. We reflected on my gifts, our gifts. And we asked the question, are we using our spiritual gifts that God has granted? Here's some that come to the front. Hospitality, shepherding, preaching, teaching. And we're reviewing and renewing gifts. And they're granted to God for a purpose. I mean, it says in Ephesians that he prepared works for us to do ahead of time, and that he chose gifts to give us, and that he knew the time and the place he was putting us in. And so the question has to be asked that I think we all should be asking, am I arranging my life for the investment of my gifts? I mean, I had to look at that. Am I arranging my time, my energy, my finances, how I set life up, that investment in the kingdom comes first and that God has access to my gifts? Or am I living largely only using them in little slots here and there and being quite selfish with my time? You see, we arrange our lives for availability, don't we? Our schedules kind of dictate what we have to offer to God. Our decisions, our finances. And it was a wonderful time for us to reflect on, are we making the decisions with our lives that give God maximum availability to what he's given us to use? Another thing I needed to reflect on and review was my ministry patterns. This is where it gets a little tough for me. I should tell this whole thing from over here, from on a stool. So here's some of the ministry patterns I spent some time thinking about. Sabbath rest and the pastor. I believe God created us all, and I believe that as creator, he has the right to say, I created you to observe the Sabbath. That part of your life rhythm is taking time to put God in his right place, taking time to trust God to provide, taking time to renew, restore. And in fact, back when the Old Testament rules were in place and it was really strict, you gained your acceptance by your conformity to the rules, so to speak. Sabbath was a big deal. You had to prepare your food ahead of time. There's all these arguments about what you could and couldn't do. But you know, I work every Sunday. I pour out. And Monday can just become another day. Yeah, I take a day off, but am I taking a Sabbath? And I think to be a healthy example and to be your pastor, I need to Sabbath well. Motivations. I really want to be the guy who starts to unpack what others' expectations are versus God's nudging and lives in close enough relationship to God that you can trust me to say no to your expectations and your preferences and say yes to God's nudging. Another ministry pattern that you'd find in me was unhealthy ownership. I am great at taking responsibility for what is God's alone to do. Anybody else with me on that one? So I see needs, right? I see places where we should be doing something. I see something in Scripture, and I respond by what? Like an idiot coming up with my own plan. Or push until something happens. And not gathering to pray. Like, don't you love what it says in, where did I put this verse? I'll get to that. I'll finish that thought in a minute. Hang in there. Told you I haven't done this in a while. Thoughts coming in a minute. And finally, people and programs. You need to hear this from me. I'm going to expand on this in a couple of weeks. So if you come on the 20th, we're going to have a bit of a talk about what our church is about and why we exist and what we're envisioning. And I'll spend some time on this. But it's easy for me to begin to push programs and fill holes in our programs and get you to volunteer and try and draw you in instead of keeping people at the forefront. And that just can't get inverted. A program is just a vehicle. It's just a platform. It's just something that allows us to be discipled and practice discipleship. People are what matters. And I need the perspective to be healthy in my life all the time. So those are some things that I've reflected on. Those are some renewal areas in my life. Those are the things God's teaching me. I don't know if you can identify with any of that. But there you go. So the third area I asked you to pray for was me being recharged and refocused. Kind of the big so what, right? It's easy to see some things. It's easy to come back and identify, okay, God showed me this. Now what are you going to do about it? And this is, again, where I'm living a little bit raw in front of you. because you guys will be able to look at my life from afar and go, he's not doing it. He's messing up again. And if you can do it in love, come and talk to me about it. If you do it with your finger out shaking it, just go home and sit on it. Ooh, that was, I'm going to get calls on that, aren't I? Like I said, I've been away. Let me talk about being recharged and refocused. First, something I need to do is stay in my lane with burdens and needs. As your pastor and as your spiritual leader, I'm really going to try to leave the God things with God and to own the things I need to own. James tells us every good thing comes from above. And in Acts 6, they face a legitimate need, and I love how they respond. In those days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint from the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, it is not right we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among yourselves 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I'm going to try like crazy with the accountability of my staff, my board, to stay in my lane and bring you some of the legitimate things that need to happen and through prayer and asking of God, raising up people whose gifts we can employ to meet that. Secondly, I want to be thankful in new ways. So, we started our trip in Europe, and I love some of our history. We were in Munich, and we were in the hall where Hitler gave his speech. I stood in the room where he galvanized the nation around an idea, and the rebellion spilled into the streets. As we were gone, we were watching the economic crisis in Turkey, and we're seeing what's happening in our world. And I'm comparing what was going on in Germany at the time. You know, you couldn't buy a loaf of bread with a wheelbarrow full of cash, and unemployment was through the roof. And the conditions were ripe for someone to come along and say, I have a solution, I can get you out of this. And they took a world solution, and I believe God comes with a solution for us. And he rose to power very quickly. And it's easy to see how the people turned a blind eye to his inhumanity and his hatred. We were privileged to go to a site. Bibi's brother took us in Spire. And we stood at the site of the first synagogue the night Hitler signed the order for the SS to come and to imprison those families and to separate them and to take everything they had. And I had a moment where I stood there and I thought about going to worship and the freedom I have. And them showing up and saying, because you are a believer, because you're a pastor, because your ethnicity is this, we're going to take you and imprison you and take everything you have away. You don't fit. And I went to Dachau, and I saw what happened. And I stood by the ovens, and I stood in the shower room, and I saw man's inhumanity to man. I understand how it happened. I understand the conditions around it. But the enormity and the horror, unbelievable. Many people gave their lives for our freedom. The fact that we have a place to come and freely gather and learn and be in community should be appreciated. And I, for one, am going to be thankful and not take it for granted and not take it as an assumption or as something to be treated lightly. I'm going to participate in my freedoms. And I want to challenge you to as well. For very quickly they can be taken. We got in a plane and flew over where ISIS is right now, imprisoning, enslaving and killing, all because of your faith or your ethnicity or who you are. Oh, I want to be a different person with my freedoms and my thankfulness. I want to be thankful for our time and our place. As we're in places where there's disadvantaged people, people that don't have a identity, I could go on and on. I'm reminded of what it says in Acts, that he knew me and he knew the time and the place he was going to place me in. The Bible says, Jesus, that God knew me when he formed me, he knew me before I was in the womb, and he chose this time and this place for me. And so in Germany, I was able to stand right where Luther had been. I was at the church that the protestation was signed at. I know where he stood trial. I know what happened when we began to be able to be literate and read. And your thankfulness, guys, for your education and your freedoms and the ability that you have needs to go up in our lives. And something God was showing and renewing in me is this. We live in a blessed time and place. You have the ability to hear and to participate in community and to study and to learn and to grow. Never before have you had such education or such access or such ability to advance in your discipleship and your relationship with God. And I read this verse and I'm staggered by it. It's talking about the end times. It's in Luke 12. Everyone to whom much was given up, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. I don't want to be someone who, because I have access to that, just treats it lightly. I could read, I could do devotions, I could do this, I could do that. Man, we have the ability and the freedom to do it. Don't miss it. Because I believe one day God will ask us, what did you do with what I entrusted you? And we will be asked to give an answer. He's not asking you to fix all the problems of the world. He is asking you to be engaged and to hold things with an open hand and to respond to him when he asks. And that's the kind of person I want to be. My thankfulness needs to go up for our freedom, for our time and our place, for you, our community of faith. I have to hurry here, but let me say this. I have been known to complain about this building, our sound and our stuff, that our bathrooms aren't nice, that our kids' area doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. I need to say I'm sorry. God has given us a great place to meet and do ministry. And I see churches meeting in way less places and way harder circumstances. Man, am I thankful for our community of faith. I'm thankful for you people. The gifts, the abilities, all these kids. This is an exciting place to be. You know, God is at work. I hear stories of people coming to faith and getting discipled, that we have a focus beyond us, that people are going in missions, that kids are looking at serving Jesus with their life, that the Holy Spirit has been largely present in the teaching and changing lives. I see you, our congregation, listen to me. This is my reflection as I look out at you, as gracious, inviting, forgiving, hospitable, generous, and caring. I come back recharged that I am privileged to serve a group such as this. And I'm thankful for our community. And finally, I'm thankful for my marriage and home. I absolutely adore my wife, and I love our children, and God is totally in our story. And I give testimony to that. Well, I also come back intentional and engaged. Come in a couple of weeks and hear us talk about what we're planning to do or how we're planning to give leadership here. But here's some things you need to know about me as your pastor. I want to be giving leadership to disciple making, not to keeping you happy. Okay? Jesus has charged the church to make disciples. And I don't want you unhappy with me, but if it's the choice between making you happy and making disciples, we're going to make disciples. Secondly, I want to keep life simple and have direct pathways. I go places and it's just more and more complicated, more and more things you should do and more courses you should take, and it becomes all about keeping busy. And it should just be about pursuing Jesus and letting him change you. And I'm committed to keeping it simple. I'm committed to keeping people and programs in the right perspective. that People Matter to Jesus programs are a vehicle for a season and a culture, and that our environment has to be about caring for one another. I'm committed to the centrality of the gospel and to listening to the Holy Spirit and saying yes. And finally, I'm committed to responding to the nudging of the Father in disregard to my plans. Here is where I think I need a significant change. I often have God nudge me deep in my soul and say, call that person, go do this, go do that, and my calendar doesn't allow for it. I am tossing my calendar out to do the nudging. And that means I'm going to disappoint some of you by not having my report ready or whatever. But it's going to happen. And I'm committed to pleasing God, not man. I want to be a follower of Jesus. Well, let's ask a big question. So what? First, that wasn't short, was it? Yeah. God is at work. I stand before you today to give testimony that he's been faithful to us. And we need to celebrate that. And he was faithful to us in sabbatical. Secondly, I know that God uses our stories. And so as I talk today, I know that the Holy Spirit, I prayed about this, is going to be nudging some of your hearts. My encouragement is for the next 20 minutes, we're just going to have communion and praise God. And you can just talk to God. If you just need to sit there and pray, if you need to come here and be prayed for, you do whatever you need to do. But are you willing to let the Holy Spirit use my story that I had to kind of pull back and show to challenge you? And are you willing to respond today? So we need to check our hearts and prepare for communion. If you're visiting, here's a couple of things to know about communion here. You sure don't have to be Alliance or branded the right way to participate. The Bible tells us that Jesus gave this to his disciples, and just like I couldn't wait to be back with you, imagine how Jesus feels to be with his church, because he says he's not going to celebrate this till we're all together with us again, right? And they're just symbols, like they're bread and they're some juice. And what it symbolizes is that Jesus was God's son, and that he came, and in our place he went to a cross, perfect, and died for your sin and for mine. And that if you've accepted that personally by saying, yeah, I need that payment applied to my account, then you're a Christ one, a Christian, right? And it just says to examine your heart, not partake in an unworthy way, which would mean, oh, I'm just going to eat this because I wonder what this cracker tastes like, but I'm going to remember that this is symbolic. They don't taste that great. They're not bad. We can give you a brand. I don't know. Might be Welch's. I don't know. But it's what they symbolize that's so important. So if you've understood that God loved you and that you were apart from him in sin and that something needed to happen, that you couldn't earn your own righteousness and that God in his love sent his own son who willingly went to a cross in your place, if you know that story, and that's your story, regardless of how faithfully you've been walking it, and today you'll remember that that was for you, and renew in your heart your desire to walk with him, we want you to have communion with us. We do it as a family. So I'm going to invite the team to come. I'm going to pray for you. The elders are going to come. And if God, you know, has been stirring in your heart anything in affinity with what I've been sharing, whether you need to recheck your thankfulness for our freedom, whether as September comes and the busyness of your calendar sets in, you haven't created space for God to use your gifts and participate in the works he prepared beforehand for you to do. Whatever it is, just talk to him about it. It's way better than talking to me. And allow him to show himself to you and cement things in your life. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us home safely. Thank you for this church. And I'm just humbled and privileged that you've allowed me to be their pastor. Thank you for their investment in us. We're just blown away that they would give us this gift of time and space and allow you to show us things that we might better serve you in the next days. Would your blessing rest on them? Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your table together. I don't know everybody's situation here. You do. But here's what I'm asking you, Lord. So for those who are far away, would you show yourself and bring them close? For those who are thirsty today, would you quench their thirst with you? Would you quench their soul? Would you fill them? For those that are fearful, would you give them courage? For those that are anxious, would you grant them peace? For those that are lonely, would you comfort? And for those who are broken and hurting, would you grant healing? For we know all of that is promised in the cross. Thank you, Lord, for these elements. Bless your people as they partake in them, in Jesus' name. Amen.